The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome all of you back. The second hour is live. We'll talk to Billy Napier from the University of Florida coming up here shortly. Bob is in West Virginia. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Very well.
Hey, I just want to talk about my buddy Jimbo Fisher, everybody's beating up on. One thing I can tell you, I've known you for a long time, and I can guarantee you one thing, you probably can too. He doesn't give a bleep, literally or figuratively, what these other coaches think about him. I promise you. What do you think?
Why should he?
That's exactly right. Hey, Paul, what's funny? I'll let you go. What's funny is this. People, if you think this year is funny with people going crazy, you wait till the next 2 or 3 years. He keeps racking up these number one classes with all this NIL money, and nothing gets that drawn in Louisville, and he seems like a great guy. But I can tell you what, there's a lot more money in Texas than there is in Michigan. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Bob. You take care of yourself. Let's check out with Logan in Tennessee next. Good afternoon, Logan.
Good afternoon.
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing?
Everything's good. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering about Kentucky football. You know, I got a lot of hype for this year, and I've had a lot of hype for the past 3 years. But look, you know, Will Levis is coming back, and Christopher Rodriguez is coming back. We're losing Wandale, but you still got Tavion Robinson who's coming in. You got Danke coming in. I think we got a lot of hype for this season. I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, right now I think Kentucky's a legitimate consideration for the number two team in the SEC East. Hey, thank you very much. Jerome is up next.
Hey, man, you should have told him, get out of here today, fool, about Kentucky. We ain't got time for that. Hey, listen, you said little Nick worry about Texas. Why are you worried about them, Fireball?
Because they have more money than he does.
Man, they ain't got no – listen, all that Nick can do is set up a long NIL with the players in the NFL. Y'all put some money back into the pot and let keep this little train rolling. That's all they got to do, man. And then as far as that problem, we
Jerome,
play both of them
Jerome,
this year.
We're heading to – we're not the – Nick Saban has let everyone know that he is concerned about it based on what he said.
He ain't let nobody know he concerned about anything, Fireball.
You hear me? You know more than we do, so I'll be quiet.
If you listen to what Russo said, oh, man, I ain't worried about that little food y'all talk about. You hear me? Just tell me what we got to do, and we're going to continue doing what we're doing. That sound like he worried about anything? Huh? Yeah, he got Texas
you know who
and
I think
Texas
is
A&M.
More worried than little Nicky, as you say?
What?
You know who I think is really worried?
Oh, you know I'm not worried, Feinbaum.
Jerome
I'm sitting back
worried.
Here on the patio. Look,
Jerome,
I'm sitting back here on the patio
been,
watching the damn birds eat birds.
You have been worried since
things,
January
man.
11th.
Man, you
because what happened on January 11th
Texas,
is you saw something you never dreamed you would see. You saw a second Saban
what?
Assistant beat him.
Man, I don't give a crap about George. I told y'all, enjoy that little moment, man. You hear me? Everybody enjoy y'all moment, man. We live in the moment. I tell y'all that all the time. And so I'm going to tell y'all like this. I tell y'all the same over and over and over again what we're going to do each and every year. But y'all can't understand because I either talk too fast or I talk too loud. One damn two. I'm going to tell y'all that just right here.
Both.
This nigga told y'all to tell me what we're going to do. You hear me? He's going to play the game however y'all want him to play it. He's going to play it. I'm saying it's a shame, man, that y'all in the middle of this storm. Y'all can't even look up to the damn heavens, man, and ask the good Lord for help. Now, he's going to tell y'all the same thing I'm going to tell y'all. Get out of here with that damn fool. We're going to continue to whoop ass, period. Every day.
Jake is up next. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I've been listening to you for about a decade now, ever since A&M joined the conference. And you've always talked with a lot of admiration about A&M and their fan base and, you know, the resources that they have there. And I think at one point you referred to them as a sleep at giant and, you know, the rest of the SEC better watch out if they're ever awakened. I just wonder why with this recent NIL stuff that's gone on, why is that admiration? It seems like it's turned into a little bit of disdain on your part.
Well, first of all, I have been saying what I have said because I've gotten to know a lot of really good people at A&M, and you've heard me say this before. So, some schools you have tacit knowledge of. I feel like A&M because I've had so many encounters and have made so many friends out there that I have a better understanding. It's not a matter of disdain. I think what we're trying to do here is just represent the angst and anxiety that currently exists. And what A&M is going through is there's a lot of envy and there's a lot of pettiness. And I think you're hearing some of that.
No, I get it. I totally get it. But, if you had polled the A&M fan base and their alumni prior to NIL, I bet, 95% would have been against NIL before this all came out. And I can't understand what we were supposed to do with those resources, with the alumni base that we have. Were we supposed to just wait and let Georgia and Alabama kind of take the lead and know our role in the SEC and just sit back and wait?
If you look at it objectively, and I try to do that, A&M beat Nick Saban to the punch. Saban was slow to react, and all of a sudden, A&M, which was already a powerful entity, is now a juggernaut. And it's not a juggernaut I see subsiding. I think you've seen A&M come through waves. We saw that with someone in Manziel, and it was not sustainable. This is sustainable because of the money and the infrastructure that exists out there.
Right. Well, we'll see. I think with NIL, the easiest thing now is actually getting the recruit there. I think time will tell if we're able to keep, I know we won't keep everyone, but if we can keep, even 75% of that recruiting class, I think we'll be okay. So I appreciate you taking my call,
Jake,
Paul.
Thank you. I'm glad you called, and I'm glad we could talk about that. Let's continue here before we get to Coach Napier. Dave is up next.
Hi, Paul. First of all, I was going to open up a can of sausages. But with that one phone caller with the toenails, it being boiled, I lost my appetite.
I did, too. I don't know how you could possibly eat. If I had ever eaten chicken toenails, I'm sorry somebody now told me about it.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, me too. Oh, my God. And I might be mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong. But did I-Man yesterday tell you that you were one toke over the line?
Yes, he did, Mr. Brewer in Shipley.
Yeah. Well, gosh, by his mugshot, he looks like he's one toke over the line. The second picture?
Yeah, for those who don't go back to the 70s, that was a song by a group, Brewer and Shipley, that had everything to do with drugs, especially marijuana.
Yeah, I did. I know that. I remember the day.
Essay. We're coming back in a few minutes with Billy Napier, the head football coach at Florida.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back here. We're just a couple of hours away from the first spring game of the week. That is the University of Florida playing the game tonight. And we're joined by the head coach, Billy Napier. Coach, good afternoon. Great to have you back.
Paul, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
So we're just a couple of hours away from your spring game, and I know everyone uses the spring game for different means, but first of all, the seems unusual, maybe it's not, to have a Thursday night game. What's behind that?
Well, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. I think we, certainly with Easter weekend coming up, trying to create as much student involvement, you know, first opportunity for us to engage that group as a whole. Didn't want to miss out on some of those opportunities as a result of Easter break.
Right.
So we're working on Thursday night. It's actually turned out to be an advantage in recruiting for us. And, you know, I think the Florida faithful will be here, and we're thankful for all the people that are going to come out tonight.
Yeah, yeah. While I was aware of the Easter weekend, I didn't realize what an inconvenience it could be for some fans. So that is actually a really smart idea to start the weekend off. Let's talk about what your expectations are tonight.
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit of a midterm exam approach. You know, I mean, I think this is kind of capping off phase three for us. You know, we went through foundation and identity. And certainly spring practice here, this is our 15th one. You know, it's an opportunity for the players to kind of put on display all the work that they put in so far with a new staff. You know, and I think we've learned a lot about our team, and certainly I've been very pleased with their attitude, their energy, the effort's been great. We've got a long ways to go. You know, excited about what we observe, but, you know, not content. You know, and we'll turn the page tomorrow, evaluate the game, and, you know, there's a lot of very specific work to do to improve our team.
Coach Billy Napier with us. And Coach, you've alluded to this in the past, your strategy and approach. This is not something that you roll out of bed one morning and try to implement. It took a lot of work. In terms of the player personnel development and then the evaluation, by this point, you should have a pretty good idea what you have. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing every day in practice?
Well, I like what I see. You know, I mean, I think the glaring issue is the depth issue that we have. You know, I mean, I think we could put a first group out there that compete with about anybody. You know, I think the big thing here is that we've inherited a few issues on our team relative to depth. We're very fortunate that we're living in an era here where we have an opportunity to add players to our team in the springtime, you know, all the way up until when summer school starts. So, you know, we're going to try to take advantage of that. You know, this is a different era in college football. Unlike any other time that I'm aware of, you're certainly been around longer than I have. But, you know, it's a unique opportunity with the transfer portal. The player availability, the ability for them to be immediately eligible. I think it's a little bit of an advantage for a new staff, one that maybe you didn't have a couple of years ago.
On that subject, Coach, I mean, I realize you're coaching football. You're not reading all the things that we are reading at a place like this. But coaches are opining on the NIL, on the transfer portal. Your former boss talked about it the other day, saying it was, I think both of your former bosses talked about it this week, talking about how it wasn't sustainable. In terms of somebody who is much younger than either one of them and a little bit at more of the beginning of their head coaching career, even though you've been successful, How can you make it advantageous for your program overall?
Well, are you speaking about name, image, and likeness? Is that what
you're
specifically
talking about? I think there's two things here. There's name, image, and likeness, and then there's the portal, which you alluded to.
Yeah, no, I think the combination of the two is probably what the issues are, right? I mean, we've made the bed and now we got to sleep in it, right? I mean, it is what it is. I do agree that, you know, we're going to end up having to change. I mean, there's no question this thing's going to get abused. With abuse comes control, right? So, you know, but certainly right now, you know, our job is to lead our program and compete within the rules that we have, you know, so it's unfortunate, but, you know, I think for me, Paul, coaching football is about a lot more than just these these things. This is a small percentage of what we do, right? And I think for me, what I've tried to do is keep perspective. You know, what's our purpose as a coach? You know, we want to try to have a place here at the University of Florida where we're creating life-changing impact, right? I'm in this profession because I want to help young people. You know, we want to go about it a certain way. I do think that it's a critical time in a young man's life, right? It's a really unique window of time. We've got a great platform as a coach. You know, my dad was a high school football coach, and I don't ever want to get too far from that, right? You know, I'm would like to think that we had 4 years at Louisiana where we did that, right? We had success on the field, but we also made a difference in terms of how we did that and the things that we taught. There's a lot of life lessons that come with this game. And I think we've got an opportunity to use this game to help. And I want to have a place where our players are able to use football. Football's not using them. I think you would agree with me that we live, it's a different time. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, these Power Five conferences, they're writing a check for a couple million a year to each institution in the league. Now we're getting ready to sign a new TV contract. We're talking $50, $60 million a year for each institution. So I do believe that we're headed towards a time where the player deserves a piece of the pie, okay? They show up to watch the players. They don't show up to watch me, right? But I don't want that to affect my purpose and why I'm coaching the game. You know, I'm obviously in a little bit different place here with a lot more people watching, but to me, I've got to keep, and we want to keep people at the core of what we do and want to have a place that impacts people.
Coach Napier, I'm intrigued by your lineage. And of course, when you've grown up around high school football, I mean, it's very pure. Some places around the country may take it a little more seriously with their own 40 and 50,000 seat stadiums, but most places, as you know, are pretty basic. And hardcore, and the fans love it because it's authentic. So when you translate that to where you are now at one of the beacons of college football, does the coaching change at all when players, like it or not, are getting money? And you know, some, and occasionally a few are getting a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's our job. You know, Paul, these conversations that you're bringing up, they're the ones that are happening all across the country right now. I mean, how do you keep your team dynamic? How do you create togetherness, you know, chemistry, morale, loyalty, you know, all these things that the game, the passion for the game, you know, there's a certain brotherhood that comes with this game. How do you keep those things? But know that within your locker room, there may not quite be as fair as it should be, you know, and I think that's what I'm struggling a little bit with right now. So, I mean, we're very much in an adjustment period here. And I think for me, the key is, you know, we've got to control what we can control within our organization and do the absolute best we can do for our players, right? We need to equip our players. We need to educate our players. You know, at a place like University of Florida with the alumni network that we have, the passionate fan base that we have, name, image, and likeness is going to be a strength for us. But I agree with you in that, you know, how do we do this and not let it affect the team dynamic, which I think football is the greatest game because of the number of people that are involved and contribute to the whole.
Before you go, Coach, a lot has been said and written about the infrastructure that you have put in. And I don't know how much of it you have paid attention to since you know all about it and you're doing it. But it is a complete change from what has been going on down there, which a lot of us who come through Gainesville a couple of times a year have always wondered, why isn't Florida at the same level as everyone else? You're now making it that way. So as I'm sure you go around, fans are saying, when are we going to win again? When are we going to compete for a championship? What are you telling fans? Because you can't tell fans nowadays to be patient, can you?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got a lot of work to do, Paul. I mean, heck, I mean, I can tell you that 3.5-4 months into the job, you know, we're very much an unfinished product. But I do think that timing is important. in life, and timing's important in these jobs. You know, we very fortunate in the administration and their vision. You know, we're moving into a brand new football facility. The Hebner Center will open, you know, late June. Our players will move in. It's $85 million standalone facility. It's 142,000 square feet, and it's absolutely one of the best in the entire country. Florida needed that, right? And you've got to credit the administration for their recognition of that and their investment in that. You know, I think the other component that you mentioned is infrastructure, right? And I think you need infrastructure to sustain, right? I mean, certainly you can experience some success, but if you're going to sustain it, you need consistency in how you operate. You need efficiency. You need detail. All the things that affect players, you need to have the absolute best that can affect the end product. And I also believe in the life after football component, right? I think when people think about infrastructure, you know, it's not just strength and conditioning or analysts. You know, we're talking about a lot of different areas that directly affect the player and their experience here. But that helps you with player development, but also helps you manage attrition on your staff when you lose people. You may have people you can promote. You may have someone that you can hire from outside in. You've got people within the building that can help get them up to speed. And I also think, thirdly, it helps you create a pace to the job where you don't run out of gas. You know, this profession will chew you up and spit you out. You got to have enough people. You got to have well-defined roles. You got to have job descriptions, and you got to hold them accountable. You got to be consistent and fair, and you got to create a year-round routine and plan that you can repeat and you can get better at it each year. So we're, you know, a couple months into year one here, and we've got a lot of work to do. So I'm excited about the potential here. This is a place that's capable. It's done it before. We've got to get that potential to perform, and that's what we're waking up every day here to do. We're going to try to do it with integrity at the same time.
Fantastic conversation with Coach Billy Napier. All the best tonight, and Coach, we always appreciate your time. It's such a treat to hear you talk about the future at Florida, and please come back.
Paul, thanks for covering the Gators, man. I'll see you around.
I can't wait. Thank you. Billy Napier, what an extraordinary conversation that was as you listened. And I mean, I let my mind wander when I hear him talking. I hear it's not all of one person that I've been around, but a little bit of a couple of them. But there's no question he has it together and ought to be successful. We will take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Great to have all of you with us. And let's check out Dan in North Carolina. Hello, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
Real quick, that Brewer and Shipley song you referenced earlier, there's a version from the Lawrence Welk show from back in the 70s that kind of explains how strange the 70s were.
Oh, my goodness.
But as far as the Florida spring game goes, I was on the fence about, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? After listening to Coach Napier, I'm not going to run through a wall and go see it, but I don't know if next year is that a good idea. I mean, is this something they want to do to distinguish themselves from other programs? Is it something that they feel like they have to do? I wanted to know what your opinion was.
I think he made perfect sense when he talked about the weekend, and I think what you're trying to do is keep students there, and let's be honest, the work week is over for most people, including college students. So I think that had to be it. Normally, Thursday night probably isn't an ideal night, but when Thursday night is Friday night, it makes a little more sense.
Well, I hope they have a great turnout, and I look forward to hopefully watching it on television.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and I don't want to act like this is the first time I've ever interviewed Billy Napier. It's not. I interviewed him a couple of times when he was at Louisiana, and this is maybe the fourth time we've talked to him in Gainesville. But I have to tell you that every time I talk to him, he impresses me even more. He just has it together in terms of organization, and that is often where coaches get in trouble. They may be brilliant, they may be geniuses at calling plays, but they don't have organizational skills, and you have to compartmentalize as a head football coach, especially in a league like this. He's really an impressive guy when you compare and contrast that with other coaches that you hear. Let's check out Brylin up next in Tennessee. Hello, Brylin.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm kidding. But I just wanted to know, what is your thoughts on Tennessee football this year? I really am excited about them.
Well, you know, you ought to be excited because you've got one of the top quarterbacks coming back. You've got maybe, you'd have to talk in Josh Heupel. Who's better at calling plays than he is? I know that there are others to be considered, but with what he did last year, considering the lack of talent, I thought it was pretty awe-inspiring.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of top quarterbacks, Hendon Hooker, what is your thoughts on his chances of winning the Heisman?
Well, Brylin, to win the Heisman, you have to do a couple of different things. I mean, you have to be so outstanding that it doesn't matter whether your team is great or not. That rarely happens. So he needs Tennessee to have some big games. And somewhere in that, you have to beat somebody. You've got to beat Florida. You have to take a swing at Alabama or Georgia, because otherwise Heisman voters are extremely lazy. They're not particularly sophisticated. They vote, they watch ESPN and say, who's in the Heisman race? I kid you not. I know that sounds crazy, but I've been a Heisman voter for 20 years, and I know how it's done. And I'll include myself in the group that if I'm covering a game on a Saturday, I'm having a hard time keeping up with everything else. So you're going to depend on what people say and people that you respect. And just because you respect them, just because they're knowledgeable, doesn't mean they know everything about every player. Thank you for the call. Eddie is up next in Florida. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, my man?
What's up, Eddie?
Hey, man, I'm having a hard time comprehending on, you guys saying that Nick Saban is, the NIL and the transfer portal is troubling Nick Saban. I'm having a hard time, agreeing with that. Because, even though Texas A&M finished with the number one class, we still finished with the number two class. And we're still dominating the transfer portal. So I think it's more of a warning, just like he tried to warn him a couple of years ago, Paul. Bama ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. So, and all this talk about A&M, like I said, Paul, these guys haven't done nothing since, 1924? Are you there, Paul?
I'm listening to the expert, Eddie, you.
Hey, Paul, check this out. Only thing they basing Texas A&M recruiting class off of is potential. That doesn't mean anything, all right? He can load up as many five stars as he wants to. He got to prove it on the field. He hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't even been consistent. And you were right, Paul. Yesterday, you say 5 years, Paul. 5 years. They're paying this man $9 million a year, or 10, and he hasn't done anything. He's halfway through his contract. Haven't done anything. Right? Come on.
I would take exception to that. He had a top four finish 2 years ago. He did something that no other Nick Saban assistant had ever done until October. He beat Nick Saban. I think that's a pretty significant accomplishment in prime time.
Hey, Paul.
In front of 15 million people and 105,000 people at Kyle Field. And he just landed one of the best recruiting classes of all time. I think that's more than saying he hasn't done anything.
Well, hey, Paul, beat Alabama does not equal a championship. Ole Miss beat Alabama twice. That's nothing. Hoorah, hoorah.
But Eddie, you can have your defense mechanisms up all you want, but at 70 years old, when your assistants start to beat you, it's usually a sign of the future.
No, not one time, Paul. Beat you consistently. Beat you consistently is a sign of the future. Not one time,
Paul. And Eddie, let me assure you, if you don't think Nick Saban's concerned about Texas A&M, you are kidding yourself.
No, he is not. He is not.
Okay, Eddie, if you repeat that 50 times, you might convince yourself, but you're not going to convince me.
Oh, that means nothing. Talent don't equal a championship, my man.
Well, you're talking about present and past. I'm talking about present and future. You're not the first Alabama fan I've had this conversation with, so it's new material. I'm not selling Nick Saban short. Nobody is. I'm just simply saying that Jimbo Fisher has put a marker on the table, and he's done it with bravado. I don't know how he's done it. I really don't. I don't have the means to know. I know the school is backing him, and that's great. They're all in on Jimbo Fisher. Good for them. But you're showing yourself and something else by your narrow-minded defense of Nick Saban. Nick Saban is concerned because Nick Saban is always concerned. If you don't think Nick Saban cares about what's going on elsewhere, you haven't been following him very closely. We'll take a break. More to come. More guests right around the corner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Busy show. We've already talked to Billy Napier, the head coach at Florida. Let's check in with JK, who is up next.
What's up, Paul? You all right?
Bama hater, how are you?
Man, hey, I can't complain, but I'm still laughing from before the last break. You got Jerome calling up there. He in denial. You get Eddie from Florida. No matter what you tell Eddie, he's got something to come back. He's just got to be the Secret Service agent for Nick Saban. I don't care how far he reaches inside Saban's mouth and tie Kirby Smart's shoestring, you can't tell him nothing. They got their butt whooped, and they all in denial. It's like they got blinkers on, and they are running to a brick wall before they believe what you say about Alabama. As long as it's positive, yeah, they believe it, but when it's negative – they're all in denial. And this is what I got to say about Nick Saban. Nick Saban got something to say about the kids in the NIL deal, but I hadn't heard him complain once about all the money he makes. He hadn't got knocked out of a football game because of a targeting penalty. Let those kids make their money and just sit down and shut up. It's as simple as that. What he's mad about is another team got the number one recruiting class, and he doesn't. That's all he's mad about. It's not going to be the same, and I'm going to say it until it changes. He might as well stop complaining and just get on the field and get ready for Austin Peay, Vanderbilt, Utah State, and La Monroe.
JK, that's the best you got.
That's enough. I mean, it's the truth.
I mean, basically regurgitating the selective schedule that you you're trying to create in our minds, forgetting that Alabama travels to Tennessee, they travel to Austin, Texas, they take on a very competitive SEC schedule. But you're hung up on Vanderbilt, a game that's on a rotation
with every other SEC
East school.
Paul Feinbaum, did you just say Tennessee and Texas? Really?
I did, yes.
So two of the most average to below average teams in college football hadn't won anything since when? And you want to bring up Tennessee and Texas? Why is Texas in the top 25? Why? And why is Auburn number 10 out of going 6-7? Now, can you explain that?
No, I can't.
And why is it out there? That's why I keep saying polls shouldn't come out until the playoff poll come out. There's a reason it takes that long for the playoff poll to come out, because you have to be evaluated. How do you know where a team is before they play?
Well, but
Alabama just
JK,
got Alabama
it really,
just got.
It doesn't matter.
Why it doesn't matter, Paul?
Well, because the only poll that matters in college football does not come out until November, and that's the CFP poll.
So basically, what you're saying is it doesn't matter. But what about the teams that are not in the top 10 year after year after year after year? They have to be perfect to get in. But you can have those same.
No, they don't.
5-16.
I mean, do you realize what you're talking about? Cincinnati.
If you let me finish,
made the college football playoff.
And, Paul, had they lost one game, they would have been out of it. They would have been out of it. But
well,
you can get
course,
a team like
they
Alabama.
Out of it, but they
hold
didn't.
On, Paul. Paul, let me finish. But if you got a team that's not even the best in their division,
JK, you're still debating on whether they can be in a playoff.
Okay,
just admit that your team is never going to be good again. You're living in the 80s and 90s. It's over for Miami. You know it. I know it. So you're trying to make a living now tearing down Alabama.
Paul, I got a proposition for you.
Nick
since you feel
has
that
won
strongly.
7 national championships since your team won its last one.
Hey, Paul, I got a proposition for you since you feel that strongly about my Hurricanes. You ready for it? If Miami win the ACC and make the playoffs, I got a seat right next to you on your show for 1 week.
Miami is back is one of the most is tantamount to
I'm
saying
talking
the
about
check
the
is in the mail. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Great to hear from you. Let's talk to Bo in San Antone. Hello, Bo.
Hey, Paul, what's going on? Thanks for having me again. Dude, that guy is ridiculous. I'm a Gator fan. I at least know that we're not good. The guy wants a seat with you. Like, if Miami wins, I mean, you should have taken that, but there's nothing that you're going to get in return. Anyways, I know it's almost at the end of your hour. I just got to say real quick, Billy Napier, your take on him. I mean, I know you can preface things that are slightly insulting to people and be okay if you say, with all due respect. So I say this to you, with all due respect, and being a Tennessee fan, you're kind of used to being let down, and I'm not trying to be mean because I'm let down constantly as a Gator fan. But what do you think? Should I get my hopes up with Billy? Like,
I don't speak here as a fan. I'm not a fan of any one particular school. I'm a commentator, and I think it's going to go well for Billy Napier. I think he's the best coach Florida has had since Urban Meyer.